Good evening, and a warm welcome to the service this evening, those who are in the building and also those who are watching online. It's good for us to come together again and to worship God. We're going to begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise from Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and the first two stanzas, I think, of the psalm. Maybe the first three. Is it the first two or the first three? First three stanzas of the psalm in Gaelic. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. These three stanzas, familiar words from Psalm 40. We remain seated to sing in Gaelic. We sing to God's praise.
Ye milifoit madidia chraumukum ye shmogu. Ye Bianiste uasala hawaun, danyinit koni, shiriach. Sahakamar kanuas ornya hedinyeskar, o arshtitinavach. Ergo sahafenskinye buyon peksho, akanya hakrainyakin. Ergo snachmod uchruya bianiste enturum uchuduwarn. Nidi gaulu gain natidin, farabingiish natruut krain natanam. Kavalusa Sivian, whom we got Bianacha. Ugusa Isaac and Kavalula had called a ding a deer to Yali, at Galuk and Hodanug had to Gusidia. Sashinya got a Maldogos on a Karam hacking and a Nuadella, we can call the Dihela. Go Karpara give you favor stay. In Jeeshan a va o Hiriach. In Jee. O chrúis na nyeban agus na spéran. O chrúis talas na hulini feichtrinach agus na eichtrinach. Haus o chumors chú uasol agus chú glórvar agus na chúm nyeb na nyebo. Agus gaiab, gaiag hau chú bec agus gulú an an cría in yon chan a ha haxet chan anad. Agus ydy nid yw'n och a sy'n yw gwrn ni ag tosach gyr nori, gybyg o chwlyd dyn ac yn yw ydy'r falach o gach ni a ha conlyd yng hen. Agus gybyg mi ydy'r gian ych let y spyrt hen, a sy'n yw'r spyrt sy'n hadol gair bioch ag, chan yw'r tyle fydd bi an gynnya an syniol. Sa sy'n yw cyn ydy nid yw'n och gyrgyn agus mryfa salami, Nid y fe gra geif mi le ffyd mae di gyr, chrew mwgwm ygys ieisht mygw. Sfa salam i gain hen ygys etol ffo an yng nghlop ar tiw y fiachgi. Sfe an yng nyniw gys o gol ffo am, ach glod y fi gadan am sy hirna, gyda hasiniam ar yng nghedna, dol ffo as yng nghlop ar tiw y fiachgi. In yinyo kvitola sin halu, kyog han a garsten and sheer yitolna steina. Ugus haugur tokal an arst, svasalami mochale de shente de hurste. Gudahuduse a chasis karik. Isheshen karik shen is a kriest. Skudahudu ora noak nevel. Ora nochro aun, dievdehe, ora molikan in yern. Sashinya gatavalaga de nechanoch kashana renyu gain an in yes a kriesta. Nude vashinya asand ho hulagus piachke gilh among huorstorn. Ugus han piachke shan konded in hast. Nude fiachke shirkeert kyan kon and the garag eden. Nude yichat yanavis hademask. Ugus har kujak in yekusulahangu. Ach glod y fi gadanam gydwch gwrs y bwy, had eisiau bas o gyswy y gwrs gydwch y dwas, gan y gydwch y bwy had eisiau dyn nabod, y gwrs gwelwys y bio, an y syl gyn llawn gyn chri, ec gys laim y glod. Sa sy'n ag atofol gyda nech yn och gyffyd sy'n y cyn, le da nach gyrwych ar y gras, Chom agus gyffai sy'n y troch gys, agus gynnam y sy'n y gras o chwm yr cwys yn y nawm yr ffeym. Sa heis ac y ten o'n gras bar y dawm yr ffeym. O chwl y môl mae'n ti hasi'n biawyd yn talog a sy'n gwrs ffeym o'r ten. Agus a styn ys y chanwr yn sy'n ni sy'n bu hi gianig. Gybyd o hen y dolyd hos o'ch gorn yn sgach cem gan yn tri. Sgybyd o gwlu chi yn dy spirit iawn ffochoedd. Nu gud te gebied hasch, kan jullie zich tonjakken? Je gud te creëren la marige horstman koorst en in jachter je het behe. Ach als je nu koorn je aan gras verkebet toe heen, akken je maar achke der nanen. Haar een kind je goed stijl nog beke brache de garage. En een geem nou als een geurig akvoor. Sashinja katamaldoge van de reine ze gains, ne houdt janige der son. Dyd yng nghyn gan yna chwysylad gain, na chach gysŵls, na chgwl o clwys. Na chdan y gadeaf yn y gryd dyn y met ni nich yn siarad yn gyr gaibson, a gyfer graag a. O, na ch met i chi dwysa yr graag nye gwt sydd yn eich noch. Gwys gyma trich gyhyr na hath graag nye gwt eich o ffwr, sech o ffalw. A cho gyda dy dwysa fwy na hwly nich yn y gwt a gyfi siesach etr sy'n hen agos dw hen. Agus nach talich ag eo e bi cruach ag anna nha criach lan, ag anuag ag spyrid cairst an tebis dai. Spyrid ag chudu glod agus orm agus malag idi chuspad sian, as cain ag chule cuspad ele, iag an ias a criaste e fhidan, In Jesus and a hand ye in Yuhugus Kashiri, in Ji Kentna, in a halara who nascali chunta magadish. Sayemetacharach who sayemetach kuch la conda dunya. Achausak and kuch la gosht. Yugus had to vlier noch in poon and fest. Sajinagatamalaga, ye vianis yeshon, Nepianach and ashin yeshalavach of atalai. Satchen uur gunya, o hululah. Hulum hat in die Jede schinze Gaskelisch in der Sohlen, hat im Janach gön Uhr gönne, es moort die Jelschach gönne je. Schnee Gorni maha gebianische Tischin, mar Chohanel, mar Skizis, mar Wur. Teingel guch die Hirne gedukuschin an der Sabestjachs an den Jarenjach, grüge in Eichen noch. Egane nöges Virus, a Hachumarachjach, uges a Hadibikonde, den Jenesche, re unje. Ik was aan de meesten moorden schoppen gekomen met jongens in de scheerjacht en veel toegang in de deugel. Gejug had het er komen in het jaar in het sabbatje, kreeg een noodig in het hamse. Zijn hanaken had over mannen juist te heren, als een gelegen was in die jaren had het oren. Zij zijn ook niet kunnen komen te zoeken en gulet te nekken. Zij gaan het in jaren aan hebben die uus. Ik was aan de ten kurum en aan de ten faskai. Zoals een goed tangel goed werd te gaan, ik was te gleegor. Ik was aan de kurum ach mijn gemischel. Ik heb het ook heen en bijna nog, ik heb het ook schaald en hadden. Ik heb een goedje gewoon een femen geleerd. Zoals een goede, ik heb het ook heen. Ik rien je mag een jongen, je woontje, je haast. Ik heb het ook een kroos, het dan geleerd wordt. No, ik kreeg een neusje gezien, neer dagjens, neer tjouwlijken, neer paardjens aan een jelland pikker naar, schugge hier een kruikje eenmaal een doon woord. Vedigus naam na een paardje was nienen, zoals een koninkje vijfje met de wijfje den torstig heen, de nienen en den torstig tjeug in het talabin, gevijfje met niet een kloor waar je huntig de jenig en een nenem eerst ik de eerste. Gefenchke met je ten ori in de gianus at de kut hadish. Gefenchke met je kunje van ornis at hulan. Uges nach gag ne toklichen had. Och ruijet, gionig gefenchke met je la. Anse bugge de sul gulleen. Leed de lianen let de glood. Uges fedigus mnan uges balliches nienen. De kien kibi tuchtje met klonien en anem. Se schiddig troch ges sekiori manes. Ik was een onzipig als een dooi hachen. Hij was een geld in nacht gelikkel. Het gaat het bij hem had. John is me aan graas gevechtig met je. Naar laaf heen, zoals je goed niet de hand. Bianisch in je, als je goed niet doet, bianisch dokloch. Als er geen en niet in de hand, als je goed niet de hand. Security, gebegongen de spiritje, dan schaarschissige hekje. En ik ga hier, zoals ik hoop, en zijn een misk met treden, hoe ga die woorden. Ik wist niet, als je niet kent, de eerste jaren, en de jachter je het bij. Ik wist, en je de wil schachten, de nesje, of als je kruin, als je doos of je jeder. Zoals je niet goed, je me heet eer te doen, te hal. Ik ben met je kunjag, ik in je de jacht nog ze. Voor eerst je toch wil heen. Ik was een jongen, ik was een onzipi hier. Ik wilde gewissen dat er daar waren, like een amse. Ik wilde heen, ik ga mischen, ik was een jastige. Ik was gebeurd dat ik hier niet dacht. Ik wilde een genieën, ik zette hulp heen. Ik was een hier dood, ik was een ernoni, ik was een doodig kerkiegei. Ik dacht dat ik hem in het land hier. Bijna is er bedacht, ik was een ding nog, ik zette een tjechtjes. Het maar ook op je heen nog die is niet bij. Ik heb een nodig in het hamse. Ik ben toch heen ploeg aan, het wels met de gelukkig gaan. Ik heb ook het toch aan, heb die uren de lauren ze. Ik heb je gehoor mis nog ook, ik heb nou mijn hasho. Pianisch in je nesjes, bij tot een hasho gorn. Bij pianisch ook acht nieuw zit ik hier aan het ene met een netje nog. Leven is schijn toch loof. Toch kunnen we ze de leven. Ik was het. In de weinige geins, bij je goede nieuws in de genen, om te glad te gloeien. Bij als je tot het hartstikke gaans, bij je nullig hoesker, tjeselig, zijn de geutige bejaakt gein. Bij een schijns, bij de gein, zoals je glad werd de spirit, han ska knyva sin igen, ska bygga glada och så klugat den hemse, jag ska bygga bjärnaka ringen och så hörn. Ästa gör norn i ens fröka sin gärna sky, den tråka det där nannamen bach, kus magnar pjach, gärna skacht i öst. Amen.
Amen. I think we're going to sing again now to God's praise from Psalm 40. We sang to the end of verse 3, and I think we're singing now from verses 4 through to verse 7. Verse 4 to 7. We sang 1 to 3, haven't we? I don't have the order of service in front of me tonight, so it's 3 to 7. So we're singing verses 3 to 7 now. Psalm 40, verses 3 to 7. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. Down to the end of verse 7, we'll stand to sing to God's praise.
He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. Oh, blessed is the man whose trust upon the Lord relies, respecting not the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. O Lord, my God, full many are the wonders thou hast done, thy gracious thoughts to us were far above all thoughts are gone. In order none can reckon them to thee if them defend, and speak of them I would thee more than can be number large. No sacrifice nor offering is thou at all desire. My ears are born sin offering thou, and birth is not required. Then to the Lord these were my words, I come, behold, and see within the volume of the book, it written is of me.
Just going to hand over to Anthony in a second, but before I do, just a question or two to the boys and girls. I said this morning that Anthony, Dr. Latham, was going to be coming up and he was going to be sharing his testimony. Now, We don't often hear the word testimony just when we're in school or when we're out in the shop or when we're doing our normal stuff. So what do you think it means when somebody's given their testimony? Jonah, your hand was first up. Yeah, when somebody's telling how they became a Christian. To give a testimony is to tell the truth. And when we're given our testimony in church, we're telling the people who are listening, in here and those who might be listening far away, about how we became a Christian, how we came to faith in Jesus. That's our testimony. And so the psalm that we were just singing, it was like David's testimony. He wrote all these different psalms, but this is a favourite psalm of so many people because it's David's testimony. And he says, I waited for the Lord my God, which means he trusted God. And then he talks about when he trusted God, when he believed in God, God is the one who took him from the fearful pit. That's a picture of sin. And put his feet on a rock, which is a picture of Jesus. And so in that psalm that we so often sing, David's giving us testimony of how he came to believe. And those who believe, we've all got different testimonies. We all believe in the same Lord Jesus. We are all able to say that we know that our sins have been forgiven through him. We're all looking to the same cross. We're all saved the same way, in that Jesus, his blood is what saves us. But how that happens, it varies from person to person. And yet we're all called to give our testimony. For Christians, we're not to be secret believers, as we heard this morning. We're to give our testimony. And one way we can do that is by standing up here, as Anthony's about to, and to tell a story. And another way we can do that is with no words. Boys and girls, can you think, is there a way that we can give our testimony and say that we believe in Jesus, even without any words? You think about that. Is there a place that we can go to? Is there a thing that we can do where we're saying, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I'm trusting in him, and I want you all to see it, and yet we don't even have to use words? Lois? The Bible, that's where we go to hear God speak. But is there a place that we can go to say, I am a Christian, I'm trusting in Jesus? Emily? The Lord's table. That's right. So next Sunday, for those who are Christians, for those who have had their sins washed away by Jesus, we don't sit hiding in some corner of the church, but we come forward to the Lord's table. And we sit there, and as we take the bread, we remember Jesus' body broken for us. And as we take the wine or the grape juice, we remember Jesus' blood shed for us. And when we take it, we're saying, I believe. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And this is my testimony. So sometimes we can give our testimony without even saying any words. Some of us are very shy. And God in his kindness has said to us, there's a way that you can say you believe in me without even having to stand up and say words. Come to the table. So let me say that to anybody who might be here who believes and hasn't yet shared your testimony. Come and speak to me and come forward to the table. It's for those who know they are sinners. It's for those who know that Christ Jesus is their Savior. And as we step forward, we give a testimony that our faith is in him. So Anthony's going to share his testimony in just a second. I'm going to pray before he does so. I'm going to ask you also for prayer for a couple of things Some of you will remember a man called Mark Hind from Open Doors, who spoke to us recently on Zoom about India. He spoke to us in the prayer meeting room there a couple of years back as well, about various places where God's people are persecuted. And he got COVID a few days ago, but he got very ill with it. And so we've heard from various people that he's struggling a lot just now. He's in hospital. He's kind of drifting in and out of consciousness. There's an update that Ian's put on the Facebook page. He's drifting in and out of consciousness. He's seriously ill. His wife also is very ill with it. And so a request has gone out that we pray for him. And so let's be remembering to pray for Mark and his wife. Mary, can you remember her name? Is it Joyce? Sharon. Mark and Sharon at this time. And also maybe if you could pray for Mary's brother, Neil, or Neil Lachey, as he's known. Just before church this morning, he was feeling slightly funny. And when he went into church, the elders noticed his face had kind of fallen slightly to one side. So he took the service, but they phoned for help afterwards. So when we left, he was with doctors, paramedics, and they were just trying to decide what to do next. It looks potentially like Bell's palsy, but we don't know for sure. So the family would appreciate prayer for Neil Lachey as well. So let's pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that Jesus is the one who calls us to trust him as Saviour. We thank you that we can say with the psalmist that you are our Lord, that you are our God when we are trusting in you. And we pray for faith, each of us, that we would be trusting in Jesus, that we wouldn't just hear the message of the gospel, that we wouldn't just hear the call of Jesus and stay back, distant. But we pray that each one of us, young and old, would ask Jesus to take our sin away, to be our Saviour, to be our Lord. We thank you for this gift of prayer. We thank you that we are able to come to you as our Father. We thank you that we are able to carry people through prayer to the feet of Jesus. We thank you that we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for those who are struggling in a particular way just now. We think of Mark and his wife Sharon and the family. And we pray for them just now. We know that Mark is drifting in and out of consciousness, and people are struggling to be able to communicate with him. But we thank you that you're the God who is able to reach us when others can't. So we pray for him, that he and Sharon would know your presence and your peace. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would lay your healing hand upon him, if that be your will. And we ask that as we carry him to you in prayer, that he would know that touch of Christ upon him, even now. We thank you for the encouragement he has been to us in the past, and we pray that you would minister to him powerfully at this time. And we pray for Mary's brother, Neil, as well. We ask that as they await what is to come next, that you would give those who are attending to him wisdom. We pray that you would steady, and that you would give strength to CJ and the rest of the family as they wait with anxiety, wondering what comes next. We pray that he would get the care that he needs quickly, and that he would know your hand of healing upon him also. We thank you that we can bring those that we love to you in prayer, and we thank you that you're the God who hears and who answers our prayer. And we pray now for Anthony, and we thank you for his willingness to open your word and to share with us from your word, and to share with us something of what you have done and are doing in his life. We thank you that you are a personal God who meets with us as individuals, who seeks us, who saves us, and who calls us to walk close with him. And so help Anthony, we pray, as he comes now. Minister to him in the power of the Holy Spirit, minister through him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we, each of us, look to Christ this evening and be drawn to the one that Anthony will point us to. So hear our prayers, take away our sin, and go before us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you, Anthony. I'll hand over and I'll sit comfortably for the rest of the service.
Let's open our Bibles. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. I've chosen this because it's very relevant, as you'll find out, to the story that I'm going to give about what God has been doing in my life. So let's just have a look at that together. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before I give my testimony, I think, could we sing together from Mission Praise number 673. Mission Praise number 673. There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Let's sing this to God's praise.
Oh.
Just before I start, let's just have a quick word of prayer together. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity of praising you and thanking you for sending your Son, Jesus. And we pray that as I give a little bit of the story of what you've done in my life, that this will make a huge difference in other people's lives, because you are working in each one of us. You want each one of us to come to know the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that everything that I say will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to be here tonight. It's good to see you all and those who are online. I just want to start really by saying that I was born in Dublin in Ireland. I don't know if any of you have been to Dublin, but I was born in a suburb of Dublin, in South Dublin. I was the youngest child of a family of five children. I grew up in a very secure and loving family. I was very blessed, I think. It was a secure and a happy time. There had been a great tragedy in our family. My parents had been out in Zambia, which is in Africa. Before I was born, they had their third child by the name of Michael, and he was drowned in a swimming pool at the age of four. So they'd gone through this terrible tragedy. But my mum had a strong Christian faith. And looking back, I'm amazed. I still feel amazed at how her faith carried her through that. And that she was quite certain that Michael was with the Lord Jesus. It was not just something she conjured up, it was an absolute certainty. And that stuck with me, and still does, actually. I went to church. It was rather a sort of low-key Anglican Church of Ireland church. The gospel was there. We had a lot of readings of the scripture. But it was, I have to say, it was rather diluted gospel, well-meaning, but rather dry. But I went to Sunday school, and that was important. I learnt about Jesus, and it's great that the young people are here today as well. And that had an effect on me. I know that I didn't come to faith then, but that teaching, however basic it was, is really important. So hold on to what you're learning in Sunday school. It's something that will carry you through. My mother prayed often at bedtime with me. She gave me some Bible notes to read. These things were really important later on. When I look back, I know I drifted, as you're going to find out. But these things were important. I went to boarding school. At the age of 12, I was sent to a boarding school in the north of Ireland. This was very tough, actually. It was a sudden wrenching from home, and I was very homesick. However, I managed to go through 5 years there. In fact, ended up liking it. I went to what's called confirmation, which in the Anglican Church is a sort of confirming of your faith, which happens when you're about 12 or 13. You go through various lessons about the faith, and then a bishop comes and you have a big ceremony and he lays hands on you and you say that you believe. Now, I went through all of this, and it's interesting that although I was sort of sincere, I didn't understand any of it. I think I was spiritually completely blind. I just went through a process. Now, that's not always the case with people who are confirmed, so don't get me wrong. But certainly it was with me. And I began to doubt. I loved science. And I began to think, well, science actually tells me that you don't need God. Look at biology, look at evolution. I began to think there's actually no rational reason why I should believe in a creator. And I became rather proud of my knowledge of science. So I went to university. I got into medical school by the skin of my teeth. But I got there. I used to meet some Christians there, and I used to like discussing things with them. But I was rather proudly saying why I couldn't believe because of this, that, and the other science and philosophy. I admired them. But basically, underneath all of this, I didn't know what I believed. I dabbled in Eastern religions and ideas. I suppose I was searching in some sort of fashion. So I carried on with medicine, but to be honest with you, I was far more interested in climbing and mountaineering. And every spare moment, certainly every weekend, I would be rock climbing. I went to Ireland, Scotland, the Alps, and once to the Himalayas, which I look back on with great pleasure. But it became almost an obsession with me. I met Christian on one of those trips to Scotland in winter climbing. And in fact, we were, if you like, an item for a while, but this ended quite soon, probably just as well, because I was immature and completely mixed up emotionally and spiritually when I look back on it. I had one experience that I'll always remember. We were on a climb called the North Face of the Eiger with my friend, and we were halfway up this, and we spent a night on a ledge there, very uncomfortable, and we'd been planning this for months. We'd really geared up, heated up for getting up to the top of this thing, but the weather started to get really threatening. It's a very dangerous place. There were bad stonefall, and despite the fact that we were desperate to get up this thing, we'd been planning for months to do it, I felt this incredibly strong feeling. And I actually knew it was God. I wasn't a Christian. I knew it was God saying, I was looking down into the valley below us, and I was quite certain that he was saying, I have something more for you. Don't just throw your life away. I have something more for you. I didn't actually say that I'd had an experience of God to my friend. I just said, I think we ought to go down, and he agreed. So we got down, and I sort of forgot about that later. But that was an important thing. I mean, God works in us before we come to Christ, and he may be working people who are listening tonight. He's working, he's drawing you to him, which is what he wants to do. I volunteered to work in a hospital in Kenya, and I worked there for 3 years. It was actually run by some Irish Catholic nuns. It was in a beautiful remote area. There were other volunteers there that I got to know, and it was really hard going. It was a busy hospital. It was over 100 beds, and often I'd be the only doctor there for weeks, and there were, you know, some beds had three kids to each bed. There were extreme cases, very late presentations of people, a lot of death, unnecessary death amongst the local population. And I was often alone, and I began at that point to cry out to God. I said, if you're there, help. And I realized more and more my own weaknesses. God was working on me, obviously, and my unworthiness in this situation. And we sang Psalm 40 there. He inclined to me and heard my cry. If you cry out to God, he will hear you. He will incline his ear to you, and he will hear you. There was a Ugandan doctor there, a Christian, who came to help us. And one night he came along and he witnessed to me. He just came purely to talk to me about his faith, and he gave me a tract, and he prayed, and I really appreciated that. It didn't seem to make any difference to me, quite honestly, but here was somebody who went out of his way to tell me about his faith. What a wonderful thing to do. It took a lot of him to do that. And of course, this was a link in the chain of bringing me to Christ. Of course, my mother was praying, so we should never underestimate the value of prayer, and saying a few words to somebody about your faith. One day I was on my own in the house, and I picked up a Bible. I actually got the Bible when I was confirmed. It was a New Testament Bible. It was quite a good translation, and it was covered in dust because I hadn't touched it for years. But I thought, I'll pick it up. I'll just give it a go. So I began reading the Gospel of Matthew, and I came to the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. And there was something about the purity and the holiness of this teaching that absolutely gripped me. I was gripped. And I felt something I'd never felt before, and that was Jesus right there with me, present with me, speaking to me. His love, his beauty, it's indescribable. These sort of spiritual experiences, I'm sure many of you have had them. It's not easy to put into words. It was falling in love, if you like. His love enveloped me. Above all, there's this certainty that he was with me. All my clever arguments meant nothing, nothing at all. This was real. And if someone had asked me how now was he Lord, I would have said, of course, he's Lord now. But I carried on being a bit skeptical. The next I thought, I'll wake up the next morning and I'll be just the same old skeptic. But I woke up and he had not gone away. He was the same, not left me. And you see, it's all grace. It's all grace, undeserved, free grace. That's what it's all about. I didn't deserve it. He came to me. He drew me. And that verse in verse 8 that we've read in Ephesians, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's a free gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. We don't get this by trying to impress God. It's just gloriously free. Now, in this short passage that we've just read in Ephesians, Paul actually mentions grace three times. I don't know if you noticed. Well, I didn't know that until I started to look at it today. He says in verse 5, by grace you've been saved. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, for it is by grace you've been saved again, he says. All my proud arguments vanished. My intellectual doubts vanished. That's a miracle, really, considering what I had been through. And I realize now that I had to come as a child. And Jesus says this, doesn't he? Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Nor did I have any theological understanding. You remember that I didn't have gospel teaching in the church that I'd been to, and I was dead, I wasn't listening properly. I didn't have any theological understanding, and I think this is very important to some people. It's only later, in fact, that I fully understood, as much as one can, how Jesus took my sins and our sins upon himself on the cross. The question is, do you need to understand everything about theology and how Jesus took your sins? And the answer is no, you don't. He can save you, and then you can come to know more about how he saved you later. So don't, if anyone's listening to this who feels they're just ignorant and don't know enough of the Bible, that is not a hindrance. I was, to be honest with you, you kids here knew more about the gospel than I did when I became a Christian, because you get good teaching. It's only later I discovered. It's wonderful. It's because of his great love, verse 5, which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And this is another thing. Being dead in trespasses, which is what we just read, is not a barrier to faith. We have to come as we are to him. I didn't suddenly change my life in order to come to him. He came to me while I was in that situation. So don't wait till you're a better person. I wasn't a better person. I was dead in trespasses. We come as we are to him, and he's rich in mercy because of the great love which we read, which he loves us. It's all about his love, his mercy, and his grace. And the definition of grace, as I'm sure you know, is it's undeserved and we cannot earn it. Well, I was so keen to tell other people about this, I was welling up within me, and I did to a few of the hospital staff. I was pretty bashful about it, but I told a few people. I told one of the priests, and he was very happy for me. They were good people. I eventually told my parents when I came home, and my brother John is just older than me. And John later became a Christian through other people helping him, which is a wonderful thing. Becoming a Christian is the start of a long journey. We are far from perfect. There are many pitfalls, and the devil will lead you to them. And spiritual warfare becomes real. But whose side would you rather be on? Jesus or the devil? And there's only one answer to that. And as we depend more and more on him, as I've had to do, we realize that Jesus has all the power and authority over Satan. I love this verse from 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The good verse for spiritual warfare, if you feel under attack. Now, there are many times when we may feel that we've let God down, as I have, and indeed have done many times. You may go through periods of spiritual depression. But I love this verse in Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's his work. He's committed to you. So if you come to Christ, don't fear that he's going to leave you in the lurch. He's committed to you. We may wander, he won't. Life sometimes brings sorrow and pain. I think we heard this in the sermon this morning. We are not always cushioned from tragedy. And my parents certainly were not. And I know many of you have gone through such things. But stick with reading his word and praying, and he'll carry you through these tests. He's for you always. Remember that verse in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I read only this morning that Corrie ten Boom, when writing about her experiences in a concentration camp, said, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer." Good advice. We sang from Psalm 40, and this applies to when we first become a Christian, and it applies when we have gone into sin or let God down. We should cry out to him in confession. And I think that's another thing I would just recommend, and I'm sure we've heard this many times. Daily confession, regular confession, is the key. We read, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." And he always hears our cry for help. "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." And who is the rock? We've already heard that. The rock is Jesus. "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God." It's joyful. In the end, it's really joyful. Now, by miraculous means, which I can't go into, it's too long, he brought Christian and I together again after 6 years not seeing each other. We went out to Tanzania as missionaries for some years. And while we were in language school learning Swahili, we were listening one night to a World Service radio program about Harris, the Isle of Harris. And we could hear all the Gaelic, we could hear the seagulls, we could see, we felt we were right there. And I couldn't sleep that night, and I had to get up in the middle of the night, and I started to read the Bible, I started to pray. And I had this immensely overwhelming sense that one day we were going to work in Harris. It seemed ridiculous, because we'd only just gone to Tanzania. We were there for goodness knows how many years. I told a few people about this, and then I completely shelved it. 6 years later, a nurse came to work with us at the hospital to help with Rwandan refugees in the crisis. They were coming over, flooding over into the district we were in. And we got to know her very well. She was from Scotland, from a remote part of Scotland. In fact, she was the daughter of Dr. Robertson, who'd been the GP here, Seanad. And she suggested that I contact James Findlayson. And when we were on leave, I spoke to him on the phone about going to general practice. He gave me some nice advice. But cutting a long story short again, this is why we're here. But what an amazing thing that God had planned that in advance. And he does that with us. He has plans for us. He has plans for our lives. And he brought us here, and we're very privileged to be here. This is a fantastic place and wonderful people. I got a great job. Christian spent many years as a teacher. We are very blessed. He has plans for us, but we have to be patient. It took 6 years for me to understand anything about that particular plan. But nothing's random to God. Nothing's random. Verse 10 of our passage, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now, one of the plans he had for me was to go back to those doubts about science and philosophy and to wrestle with them a bit more as a Christian. And I've been given the privilege of speaking and writing about science, how it confirms the reality of a creator God, absolutely and fully confirms it. So as I finish tonight, why not allow God to work out his plan for your life? He knows everyone in this church tonight and anyone who may be listening online. We need to come to know the Lord Jesus, and he's calling you. It's all about his love and us loving him back because of that love. Now, we're coming to the time of communion this next weekend. This is a time for those of us who are Christians to obey his command, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a command, not a "if you feel like it." Do this in remembrance of me. And it's a solemn, but it's also a joyful thing to remember his work on the cross for taking on himself the punishment for our sins. What an amazing thing. And we're going to celebrate that and remember that this coming weekend. And if you're hesitating, if there's somebody here who's hesitating about that, and then I hope my small experience that I've related here of the incredible grace of God, completely undeserved, completely unearned, will help you to decide to follow Jesus and put your trust in him, and you'll never regret it. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are an amazing God, full of grace, full of truth, and that you have a plan for each one of us, and we pray that each one of us will reach out to you. Thank you that you do incline your ear to us. You don't turn your back on us if we call out to you. We pray for those who are uncertain and fearful and hesitant, Lord, that they don't need to be. You're there for them, and that you call them, and it's just a wonderful relationship you want with them. We pray for this coming communion, Lord, that we will rejoice as we remember. It's solemn, but we also rejoice in what you've done for us and that those who are hesitating may come forward and profess their faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a last singing, and it's from Mission Praise 746. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's our friend. We can bring everything to him. Sing this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.